Long before becoming a power player in the international oil cartel, Iran, or Persia as it was then called, was a kingdom ruled by a powerful monarch named Xerxes. Among his subjects was a Jewish girl named Hadassah, a brave young woman who risked her life in order to expose a plot to trick the king into killing all the Jews. It happened 2,500 years ago, but history has never forgotten the courage of Hadassah. She later became known as Esther. Nor what her cousin Mordecai said to her that encouraged Esther to undertake the daring mission that saved her people. I'm Bill Armstrong of Colorado Christian University, inviting you to check out the whole true story in the book of Esther in the Bible. You can get the details on the website of Colorado Christian University, a university that loves Jesus, trusts the Bible, and champions faith, family, and free enterprise. Colorado Christian University at www.ccu.edu. And by the way, stay tuned for You Get the Blessing with my friends Bo Mitchell and Bob Belts coming up next.
Oh, yeah. Ricky Nelson.
I just need you to be quiet so I can listen to Ricky sing.
Oh, yeah. This is the best.
I'm a traveling man, made a lot of stops all over the world. And in every port,
that's good stuff, Bo.
Part of at least one lovely girl.
I love Ricky Nelson.
You know, the sad thing is, Bo, half of our listeners don't even know who that is.
Come on. Never heard of Ricky Nelson, Ozzie and Harriet's boy.
Stop and see my sweet little Eskimo.
Ooh, we're just going to let this go. This is You Get the Blessing, isn't it?
It is You Get the Blessing. This is Chuck King sitting in with Bo Mitchell as on You Get the Blessing today. We've got a fantastic guest, Dave Schroeder, who is the president of Cadence International, but like most great Christians, he's so much more than that. As a matter of fact, there are so many things that we could spend 4 hours with Dave and just touch the surface.
And Dave, we started the day, Chuck, by adding a little Rick Nelson, thanks to the brilliance of Mark Klibbe, because Dave Schroeder is a traveling man.
He is a traveling man.
But a lot of time all over the world.
You want me to go down to my car and fetch my guitar?
Can you believe how bad a singer I am?
But it never stops you.
Never stops me. Dave, great to have you.
Thank you.
Dave, first of all, tell us a little bit about Cadence International. I know you've been on the program before and you've talked some about it, but give us a thumbnail of what Cadence does and how our listeners can get involved with Cadence.
Well, thank you, and it is great to be here and hear Bo sing again. It is why I got up this morning to be serenaded in the studio by Bo Mitchell.
You'd be surprised, seriously, how many requests I have not to sing.
I bet that's true.
Well, they just don't know what they're missing. And Daddy sang bass, so I can jump in if you need to. So Cadence International is a great ministry. We're celebrating 60 years of ministry this year, and our sole focus is our men and women in uniform and their families. Our mission statement is to share the gospel and our lives with the military community. And so we have staff all around the world, on military bases, at military bases near them. We have about 50 hospitality houses where we rent or buy homes near military bases. And we move a family in, and they do Bible studies and home-cooked meals and discipleship and counseling and whatever is needed in that military community for those people and their families. And we have found the home to be an extremely effective way to love military people. Number one, many of them are away from home. And for these young guys who are 18, 19, 20, single, they come out for the home-cooked meals, but they also come out to be a part of a family. They're there at Thanksgiving and Christmas. And our ministry is about presence. It's about being close, sharing the gospel and our lives. So they get to live life with us. They get to see the difficult things that families go through. And we believe in being up close and personal because that's where God works. That's how God relates to us. He is a personal God. He has promised our presence. So our ministry is really based on being there in that way, in all forms, not just in the home, but that our staff are loving them up close for who they are, where they're at. And we also have some youth workers and children's workers, retreat ministries, a wide variety of things. But that's what we do. We share the gospel in our lives with the military community. We're headquartered right here in Inglewood, but our staff are around the world just doing a great job being present for our military families.
You know, it's a unique way of fulfilling the Great Commission, because the Great Commission says we're to go out into all parts of the world and present the gospel, but you're presenting it to our people, American citizens, in all parts of the world.
That's right.
And in hopes, I assume, that they're influencing those around them.
Well, they often are. You know, military people, they're most of them are leaders. Some of them are great leaders. A lot of the organizations that are around today that are ministering around the world were started by veterans who were in World War One or Two, and they saw the need in the country they were at, and they came back and said, God's calling me to that country. And so we really see that our ministry is not just about discipleship, it's about mobilization, because when they leave our ministry, they go to all kinds of places and touch the world for Christ around the world, but they also go into government, they go into education and business. Our alumni are touching the fabric of our society and the world for Christ. So although we're not a big organization, I think our footprint and our touch is truly global for the gospel.
So how did you get involved with Cadence? Tell us a little bit about your background and how you ended up where you are today.
Well, it's kind of a miracle. I grew up in the middle of nowhere, Vancouver Island, in a little lumber mill town. My dad worked in the lumber mill. He pastored a little church. My mom went on a 20-minute boat ride to this little mission hospital to give birth to me and my five siblings. It was just kind of a rough and tumble life.
It was
life.
As casual as you made it just sound. Hop on a boat, 20 minutes later,
boom.
Deliver a child.
Boom.
There. I bet she was...
I was a pretty compliant kid, so I think I started that way.
So it was easy, you're saying?
Actually, my birth story was I was breached. I was wanted to come out. I'm a basketball player, so I'm going to land on my feet. And this little hospital couldn't do C-sections. I mean, it was really just a building with a missionary doctor. So they were getting ready to fly my mom out to the mainland to a real hospital. But the doctor who founded that little place was a man of faith and had given up a lot to minister to the lumbermen and the Indians and all those in that area. So he put his hands on my mom's belly and prayed for me. And my mom said that within 20 minutes, I had turned around and was delivered head first. So truly, I was born because of the faith of my mom and that doctor and into a family of faith.
Wow.
I grew up in the middle of nowhere, 20 feet of rain a year. You couldn't get into this lumber mill town except by boat and seaplane. But my folks just felt called to go and minister. Then we moved down to the Puget Sound area. I'm not going to say anything about the Seahawks and where I grew up, because that would be terrible to do on this show. But I grew up out in that region.
I love the Seahawks, by the way.
Do you?
Yeah. I got to meet Pete Carroll last year. I thought...
Great coach.
I liked the guy. I felt so bad about the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I didn't expect any sympathy from anybody in this room or any of your listeners. But... I was kind of lost in high school. I went to a little small country church at that time. My dad got out of full-time ministry and was a custodian for many years and bagged groceries at Safeway. Just hardworking man taking care of his family. And there was real no youth group in our church. And I was kind of lost, not sure what I wanted to do. But after I graduated from high school, there was a visiting missionary to our church who shared his story, and God really touched my heart. And that morning I just said, God, yes to you, whatever you want to do with this kid. And when that service was over, one of the men in the church handed me a few $100s and said, this is for you to go to Multnomah Bible School, which was down in Portland, Oregon. And that's how I decided to go to Multnomah Bible School, because I had $200 towards it. And I went to Multnomah and I met my future wife and her brother who were there. They grew up in Cadence International. Their parents are some of the founders. Her dad was the president for many years. And so all of a sudden I was connected to this military ministry, even though I'd never met a military person. And they were putting a singing group together in the summers to go out and minister in Europe. and Daddy's hang bass. So I applied. The first two guys couldn't go. So I got signed up and I went and met military people and fell in love with this Our People group. And basically the rest truly is history. I've been with Cadence for 30 years, been the president 20 years, did 10 years in Germany with my family, ministering to military people. It's who I am, it's what I do, and what I love.
You're listening to You Get the Blessing with Bo Mitchell and Chuck King sitting in for Bob Belts. And our guest today is Dave Schroeder, the president of Cadence International, and he shared a little bit with us about Cadence. I want to talk about a lot more things in your life because you're a lot more than just the president of Cadence. But before we do that, tell us how our listeners can get involved and what kind of help Cadence needs.
Well, the best way would be to go to www.cadence.org, and there you'll read our stories about what God is doing and what our needs are for prayer, for finances, for volunteers, for staff. Like every nonprofit, every ministry, you know, those are our key resources, and you can find all that stuff there. If you want to be involved, we would love it.
And I'll say this. Their role they play in writing a check and doing a better job at whatever you're doing, listeners, in your workplace is just as important as getting on a plane and going over and serving as one of the house couples at one of the 50 homes you guys have around the world. So don't think that checkbook Christianity is easy. It's not. It's tough, yet it's part of the partnership. So listen to what Dave's saying there. The more money we have, typically, especially in good hands like Dave Schroeder's, the more ministry we can do and the longer we can do it and the better we can do it. So jump in, folks.
And one of the things that's really important about Cadence, in my view, friend of ours, a mutual friend of all of us, Ed Bissonette, is running one of your houses in Germany.
And Joy's actually running it, Ed.
That's true. That's
ride.
True. Joy's running Ed. And but I know from them that it's really a family ministry, and there's no more stressful thing for military people than family issues. And having a place to go that feels like home is a really important part of what you do.
It's so true. I mean, the stresses on military families the last decade is just almost incomprehensible. The number of deployments, what they've experienced. You know, one of the reasons I love this ministry is I love these people and what they give for our country and what they sacrifice. You know, they deserve it. We're just happy to love them because they're true patriots.
You know, Dave, among other things, is one of the great speakers I've ever heard. And I got to hear Dave speak not very long ago. And he shared a story, and I want him to share it with us today because I'm always humbled by people like Dave who do so many things and do them well and make such a difference. I'd like you to share the story. You're a part-time basketball coach.
Yep.
Have a ministry in that regard. And I want you to share the story about the young man that you shared when I got to hear you talk the other day.
Sure. We're a part of the Englewood School District. When we moved back here in 95, we wanted to be a part of the public school system. We wanted to have lots of non-Christian friends, and we wanted our kids to have that. We wanted to be light and salt. That's why we chose the public schools. And so we've been in Englewood for a lot of years. My wife subs throughout the district. We have friendships with a lot of the administrators and teachers, and we just want to be a light in that place. And so one of the things I do is I'm the JV coach over there, and I absolutely love being a part of what's going on in that program. There's a lot of challenging situations and circumstances for the students over there, and a lot of them come from some really difficult home situations. A lot of them struggle with grades. We have high ineligibility issues, but it's just a blessing to be in the community and being salt and light. I feel like if I'm going to lead an organization that is all about doing that, then I have to live that the rest of my life somewhere else, or I'm going to be out of touch. But even more than that, it's in my heart to be a gospel light wherever I am. So that's why I'm there. And we've had kind of a rough year over there for a variety of reasons, and there was some frustration building up, and we had gotten to a game where things weren't going well, and we're in the locker room at halftime, and I'm usually a pretty even-keeled, you know, steady kind of a coach. I don't believe in a lot of yelling. I don't believe in a lot of, the kids playing out of fear. I want them to play for the love of the game and the love of their teammates and the love of their coach, because that's when they play the best, by far. And so I build relationships with them, but we train and teach respect. And I crossed the line of respect in this moment where one of the young men was talking in the middle of my great halftime speech, which I couldn't believe they wouldn't be listening because it was so inspiring. But for whatever reason...
You snapped.
I snapped. It just, all the frustration, I think, of the year, just, you know what that's like, guys. You're all nodding your heads, and listeners, you know what it's like.
I've never lost my temper like that, especially around a basketball game.
We all believe you, yeah. So I just came unglued. I lit into that kid. And sometimes when I'm angry, I'm not very articulate. My wife can attest to that. She wins most of our arguments because I stopped losing my ability to form sentences. But man, I was really articulate in this moment.
You said it beautifully.
I did, but I said it inappropriately in terms of the contempt and harshness I had for this kid. And I could tell by the look on his face that I was making a mistake. Even as the words were tumbling out and I couldn't get him back, this was a kid who I've never seen a parent at a game. I know he's had lots of difficulty. He's not a belligerent kid. He's just a ninth grade kid who was talking when he shouldn't. And I saw the shame on his face. And I think the spirit just, man, it just pierced my heart in the moment. And I knew that I had crossed a line as a coach.
By the way, let's talk about this just a second.
Okay.
Even those of us who've accepted Christ and are following Jesus know that the flesh is right there under the surface, ready to well up and take over at any moment.
That's
and
right.
We have to accept the fact, this side of heaven, we're flawed and it will happen. What doesn't happen, which I think Chuck and I both enjoyed about this story, what doesn't happen frequently enough is what happened to you next when you identified, I've stepped over a line and I'm correcting this right now. So excuse me for interrupting, but
no,
we're talking about the flesh versus the spirit, and it happens.
It absolutely does, and I don't always recognize it. Honestly, it takes me some time sometimes to look back and go, I was really out of line, I was in the flesh. And sometimes coaches feel like they have a green light to say whatever they want, however they want to. I just don't agree with that. The people we're relating to are human beings. They deserve our respect. They deserve us to treat them like we would any other human being, whether they work for us or around us. And I treated this young man with great disrespect, and I knew it in the moment, so I sent the team out. I kept him in, and I got down on my knee in front of him, and I quickly said to him, I said his name, I said, I am so wrong. I need to apologize for what I just did. It was disrespectful. It was contemptuous. You didn't deserve all of it, even though the content of what I was saying was true in terms of coaching and basketball. But I apologize.
My method of delivery wasn't so hot.
It was wrong. It was just wrong. And the tears just came down his face instantly. And I asked him to forgive me. And I took him out to the team and I pulled the team around and said, guys, I expect you when you're on the court to not be blaming the refs, to not be blaming your teammates, to not be blaming the coaches, to pat your chest and say, my bad, when you make a mistake. Well, it's my turn as a coach to pat my chest and say, my bad.
Oof.
I was wrong. And you guys need to forgive me, please. And you know what? They just forgave me in a moment. And they went out and played like they haven't played in a long time because I think they knew their coach was for them and was humble and loved them. And it, you know, as much as I hated that moment, I'm embarrassed by it. Because the spirit intervened, I think that young man will remember humility and grace more than he will my words to him, and that's me living in grace at that moment.
What an awesome testimony! You know, to be able to take a mistake and turn it into a teaching moment, particularly when you feel you've damaged your witness. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's always hard for me to say anything nice about Bo, but one of the things I admire about Bo is that he does what's on his head at the moment. If he feels like somebody needs a phone call, he calls them right now. He doesn't delay. And that mm-hmm. taking that action at that moment retrieved and made something great out of what could have been a terrible thing.
Yeah, I think so.
And not going on everywhere. It's very rare what you did. So what, like Chuck said, what a teachable moment. And you jumped on it. And your kids probably thought, wow, our coach is a real live person who makes mistakes too.
Yeah.
We thought he was supposed to be godlike, but more respect came from that.
I think so. And that's really how I try to lead. And Cadence is how I've tried to be a dad, being present in the moment, letting the Spirit talk to you and being authentic and real. It gives permission to other people to be that way. And that's where God works in reality. But when we're pretending or trying to be something we think we should be, then everyone else tries to be that. And I think that's the core of true Jesus leadership is truly being humble and accepting who you are and that God is at work in you and that he is greater than our mistakes. And he actually takes broken things and shines his light through them. That's what we are, clay pots. So that's what I try to live.
You know, we've gotten things so backwards in sports, something that started out to be a way for young people to relate, for us to get young people involved in positive things. We've turned them into so many bad things. I'm thinking of the whole Little League World Series thing in Chicago. What a black mark on what could have been a great thing. And what you just said, I've heard this week, and I don't know anything about Jerry Tarkanian. You may know something about him, Bo, but
He won a lot of games.
But one of the things I heard several people say about him was he was a great listener. He was humble, and when he was talking, he wanted to hear what you had to say. And I think in sports today, the macho man tends to not, don't let him see him vulnerable. It's the opposite of what you just did. That's why it's such a great witness.
Last scene there in Hoosiers, Gene Hackman's in the huddle, and he's designing a play, and he can see the players just went somewhere else.
Right.
And he says, "What's the matter with you guys?" And I can't remember the kid's name. He says, "I can make the shot." Jimmy.
Yeah.
Chitwood. And then that, all of a sudden, like you just said, listening to the nonverbal and then the kid saying, "I can make the shot," he's switched. Okay, let's do what you guys are saying. Let's go for it. But that's tough in the heat of battle, but you did it.
Thank you.
And I'll tell you what, I want to go back to Cadence. I love just the picture of these military men and women away from their homes and faced with just incredible pressures and faced with the loneliness they must feel separated. I mean, I felt it a little bit one time in my life when I had to go to federal prison. We've told the story. Don't ask, folks. It wasn't a big deal, just federal prison. But you just feel so alone and almost desperate. But you guys show up and take the initiative to put these hospitality homes in with the right people hosting. It's an amazing 60-year-old ministry that's blessed people through all these different wars and confrontations we've had.
Yeah. And, you know, it's kind of the power of family and community. We used to say, you know, we're a home away from home, which we are for many of them, but truly, for this generation coming through, the young people, they're experiencing a home they never had. And like the young man, my son is on my team, and I've been coaching him since seventh grade. And we have a great relationship, and that's worked really well. And the other boys see our relationship. They see the love and respect that we have. And sometimes I wonder what that stirs up in them. Well, one of them came to me not too long ago and said, "I really love how you love your son. I don't have a dad in my life, but now I can see what it could be and what I could be as a father." And to me, that's the heart of giving them the hope of that nucleus and family, is that they can have a vision for something different that they never experienced. In fact, they have a lot to overcome. And that Christ love, our community of believers and our Heavenly Father's love for us, that's what they're tasting too. What God has in mind for us as His people and His kids. So I love that about our ministry, that we get to give them a picture of that and a taste of that day in and day out in these homes.
So could somebody send a check large enough to buy a whole new home? If
they have the capacity and the vision, we would accept that with open arms.
And you'd go find the spot adjacent to a military base that would work?
We're looking. There are lots of military bases that we do not yet have the resources in people or money to open new ministries, and it's on our heart to do. We have a wish list and a prayer list.
Or 10 people maybe respond today, and together you impact families for years to come somewhere that you're never even going to have to go see, but you can put your head on your pillow every night and think, we're a part of something a lot bigger than us.
That's right. Do I have time to tell you about one of those places?
Yes.
In Korea at Camp Humphreys, they are bringing in, they're consolidating all the military from various military bases, army bases around Korea. And Humphreys has been about 10,000 people. It's going to grow to about 50,000 American military personnel and their families within the next few years. We used to have a ministry there. We had to close it down because of resources. We're looking to raise $80,000, which is not to buy a facility, but to get our staff there, to get them established, to get that ministry going by next fall. And specifically, if people want to be a part of opening a ministry to one of the largest consolations of Americans outside the U.S. and one of the great ministries to come in the future, Camp Humphreys is the place if God puts it on their heart.
And how do they get a hold of you again?
www.cadence.org. Everything they need is there.
David, I wish we had another 3 hours to be with you. You are truly a man doing the Lord's work wherever you are. And we appreciate you. We appreciate your ministry. And folks, we really do ask that you step up and participate in this very valuable family ministry. You've been listening to You Get the Blessing with Chuck King, Bo Mitchell, and Dave Schroeder.